And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities mining in the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line from the beautiful left coast of Canada, the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how are you?
Pretty good. You say left coast or west coast?
The left coast, sir.
There you go.
Okay. great time for this topic, Mickey. You decided that we should take a look at uranium and optimism now creeping back into this sector. But boy, oh boy, it's overdue, isn't it? Because it's been quite some time. And the most telling quote that I've seen recently on the state of uranium, Mickey, this past week, the CEO of Cameco, Tim Gutzel, talking about his company's latest results. He said that market conditions in 2016 were as tough as he has seen in 30 years in the business, but we're looking at perhaps a bottom, and certainly things getting better now.
Well, I certainly think it bottomed in early December when the spot price hit a 12.5-year low at less than $18. Since then, it's been up for 10 weeks in a row, closed yesterday at $26.68 for a 50% gain. Since that time in early December when it bottomed. But bear in mind, despite that 50% gain, year over year, the spot price is uranium's still down 23%.
Yeah, so lots of lost ground to make up for, Mickey. But give us the reasons for this bit of a U-turn, I guess you could say, in the price that we've seen, even though we still have a long way to go. Signs of optimism certainly creeping into the sector. Is it a supply story here?
It's really a demand story, and demand is still the issue. There have been significant supply disruptions or destructions, however you want to categorize those two things. The real stimulus became, even though the price bottomed and was well on its way up, about a month ago, Kazakhstan announced a 10% production cut, and it supplies about one-third of the world's uranium. There's some talk, certainly their uranium projects are not economic at $18 uranium or maybe break even at $20 uranium. But there's also some talk that all the easy deposits have now been mined out or well on their way to that situation in Kazakhstan, and so now they have to go deeper, and they've moved increasingly to less attractive deposits to the south. Now, this is all ISR uranium, so it's cheapest uranium in the world. There's been some other developments. The Trump administration, since it came in, very pro-uranium, pro-nuclear power, pro-domestic mining industry, combined with the fact that Trump administration has gotten the DOE secretary confirmed, ex-Texas Governor Rick Perry, who historically has been a very strong supporter of uranium, South Texas Uranium District, where there's expedited permitting under state control with no federal regulations intervention into that process.
Well, in the commodities trade, I believe uranium certainly one of the worst performing over the past several years. Do you see signs of this U-turn sticking, though, Mickey? You seem to be quite optimistic.
Well, I think we're still, it's not a short, the price certainly is turned in the short term, but once again, demand's still the issue despite these production cuts. And a big contributor over the last few years have been secondary supplies, basically from the enrichment market, where they take depleted uranium tails or natural uranium and upgrade that, so that has replace some of the mining production. The real problem here, once again, is with the Japanese restarts. They have been very slow and long delayed. There's still only three reactors producing in Japan from a pre-Fukushima 54 or 56 reactors. A lot of the contracted uranium for these Japanese reactors that are not restarted has gone into the spot market. So there's still some fundamental problems, but at least there's light on the at the end of the horizon now, Rob.
Yeah, light on the at the end of the horizon. Also, that light is shining, and we've talked about this before, Mickey, shining on China and India as well, both rapidly growing countries in need of clean energy. They have big plans, but they're not necessarily going into place right away. But certainly, looking a few years out, they're going to be doing a lot of building activity and constructing of reactors.
Well, there's still an ongoing something on the order of 60 reactors still being built right now, and another 150 or so of which have financing or permits in place to build. So the once again the medium to long term supply demand fundamentals of uranium are quite compelling. It's just been a fact that we, because you've taken basically 10% of world demand off with Japanese reactors offline, that still overhangs the market.
There's always this push as well for clean energy. Mickey, how do you think nuclear energy stacks up with wind power, with hydroelectric power, solar power? Is it still a tough sell?
Well, I don't know really if it's a tough sell. It's just a long-term sort of, it's probably 10 years from when a reactor is financed and committed to build before it's actually producing electricity. But it really is the answer to long-term energy needs in the world because it's clean. It's the only option really for baseload electricity. Solar and wind, sun doesn't shine for 12 hours a day on average, and a lot of times it's cloudy during those 12 hours, and the wind doesn't blow all the time. So those two sources are not really suitable for base load demand. So and the other things that will supply base load demand are either coal or natural gas, and increasingly we see natural gas replacing some of the coal plants, especially in the U.S. Really, other than nuclear, hydroelectric, there's limited amount of hydroelectric power that can be developed at this stage. So the real solution, baseload electricity for the next 2 to 3 decades, has to be nuclear fission.
Okay, the price certainly rebounding so far this year. Is that being reflected in the equity prices of the companies such as Cameco and others who are producing this?
Well, I don't really follow Cameco because it's not really a uranium miner. It's a big integrated nuclear energy company, and so it's not really a call on uranium. We should mention that TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company.
Oh, they canceled that contract. Yeah.
Yeah. Declared force majeure over the week and is trying to terminate or has announced it's going to terminate its contract with Cameco. Mm-hmm. But let's bear in mind, the market, the analysts made a big deal out of this, but the total uranium committed through this contract was only 9+ million pounds through the next 11 years. So
right.
I think in total it was about $1 billion contract. So let's say $100 million contract a year. And that's not, it's significant, but it's not that significant. You do the math on that, though. The price per pound on that contract was well over $100 a pound compared to a spot price right now, which is on the move up at a little less than $27. So certainly you can understand why KEPCO did that. Cameco is not a good call on the uranium price, I don't think, but other companies certainly are. And we've seen the U.S. Producers, ISR producers, and conventional producer, all those stocks, there's three of those, and they've all had doubles since early December. Denison's had a double. So we're looking at Uranium Energy Corp, UR Energy, Energy Fuels, Denison, uranium producers in North America. They've all had doubles in their share prices.
Okay.
Some of the juniors have had more than doubles. Some of them have lagged behind too. So It's a bit of a mixed bag, but certainly you can't buy a uranium company today of any sort that has not had a big jump in its share price since early December.
Okay, a big jump in share price over a very short period of time.
True.
When you look at the valuations, are you inclined to jump aboard this this parade or sit on the sidelines for now?
Well, I guess my opinion right now is that the uranium price probably needs to take a bit of a rest here. It's up 10 weeks in a row, up, 50%? Mm-hmm. I think it needs to consolidate at this level. But I think there will be continued demand for these uranium stocks. They were beaten up so bad. And the future, certainly in the mid to long term, looks bright. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, I think there's still buying opportunities in the space.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, we're going to get together again in about a month's time. What are you planning?
Well, we are going to get together, and I'm planning to be in Toronto and sitting in a local watering hole talking to you face-to-face. So maybe we'll do that toward the end of PDAC and have a wrap on how that conference went. We expect it to be boisterous.
Indeed. Looking forward to it, Mickey. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fult, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.